From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, August 30th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hear yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Hawaiian Shirt Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud and proud. Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Ah, yes. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. A good one here, too. It says, life is a comedy for those who think and a tragedy for those who feel. Which explains why the thinkers are always laughing at the feelers.
I am depressed.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Oh, boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
To be sure.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Big deal.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See, there you go. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1936 the RMS Queen Mary won the Blue Riband by setting the fastest transatlantic crossing. And shortly thereafter, the French liner Normandy stole it away. The Normandy was a much nicer looking ship, too. And oh boy, the interior of the Normandy was awesome. On this day, 1963, the Moscow-Washington hotline between the leaders of the U.S. and the Soviet Union went into operation. It was never used because the two countries couldn't agree on sharing the phone bill.
Get off my phone, you jerk!
Before I get started, before I get on my Friday roll, I just wanted to point out something. You know, yesterday I was talking about my email portal through Windstream. It's not my primary email portal anymore because I just don't like Windstream. They're slow, they're stupid, the platform is cumbersome, but I still have some accounts in there that I want to keep in there. But they have this little news service. Most of it is AP, some of it is Reuters. You know, sometimes you'll see something from the Southwest News Service, but not real often. So anyhow, they had this photo of Jimmy Carter, who is very elderly, and the headline was, Jimmy Carter wants to live past 100 so he can vote for Kamala Harris. And I thought, yeah, this from the man who everything he touched turned to crap. 4 years of nothing but destroying everything that he touched. Even held Mideast peace talks, and those collapsed. Jimmy Carter just needs to fade away. And whatever you do, keep him away from an election booth. Gee whiz. All right, so having set the tone, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, good guy. He's these days assisting with a bipartisan Senate investigation into the July 13th assassination attempt on President Trump. Was talking to Fox News. He says that the FBI and Secret Service are slow walking the investigation. He says, all I can really tell you is the Secret Service and the FBI are basically dragging their feet. They're stonewalling us. Now, he was talking to Maria Bartiromo. She's great. He says, we've gotten some transcribed interviews, but the documents we request are heavily redacted. They're delivered, you know, the day of the interview. So we really can't use the documents to conduct the interviews effectively. So we're not getting squat from my standpoint from the Secret Service or FBI. We've requested all of their 302s, their transcriptions of their interviews with hundreds of individuals. They're not turning those over to us as well. Anybody surprised by this? My friend, the deep state is alive and well, and that's who's running the country. You know, the rhetorical question was being asked last week already. Who's running the country? Clearly, Joe Biden's not running it on a day-to-day basis, and he probably hasn't for quite some time, if at all. during his administration. Well, this is not a Kamala Harris administration either. This is a deep state administration. Now, who comprises the deep state? Did you listen to that speech the other night at the DNC convention from Barack Obama? That's who's running this administration. He and his cabal are running this administration. It's not a Biden administration. It's not a Harris administration. It's a deep state administration. So Johnson, I think he understands this. He understands it full well. And I would not be surprised that the FBI and the Secret Service are under explicit orders from the deep state not to be too forthcoming with their information in the investigation. Now, the lack of transparency, according to Johnson, is only adding to suspicion surrounding the attempt on Trump's life. And let's not forget, as we talk about this, let's not forget about retired firefighter Corey Comparator. He died as he shielded his family from the gunfire. So Johnson described the FBI's decision to cremate would-be Trump assassin Thomas Matthew Crook's body before any autopsy or toxicology reports could be done as jaw-dropping. Well, it's not just jaw-dropping. It is devastating, and every single non-Democrat in this country, I'm including our friends the Libertarians, every single non-Democrat in this country, and probably some Democrats, should be alarmed at this. We not only do not have control of our own country through our vote, we are, at this point, in danger of losing our individual freedoms. Tulsi Gabbard is right. You've got to listen to Tulsi Gabbard. If you have time today on your break, go to YouTube and just type her name, Tulsi Gabbard, into the YouTube search bar and bring up her most recent videos. There's one that was posted just the other day from Austin, Texas, as she lives near Austin, explaining why she's endorsing Donald Trump. It's clear, it's concise, very easy to understand. And she explains there, to no one's doubt, why Donald Trump must be reelected. This deep state is running our country, and they're running our country into the dirt. So, in light of these recent events regarding the FBI and the Secret Service, Johnson said, again, it's just driving suspicion and conspiracy theories. Well, that's true. But do you think the deep state cares? The deep state right now, as I speak to you, is in the business of staying in business. Do you think that the deep state is going to just willfully concede their position to Donald Trump in November? No way. Is it possible that they'll try to assassinate him again? Yes, it's very possible. Again, we go back to that old line from the late Walt Kelly. We have met the enemy and he is us. Well, we have met the enemy and he is the deep state, and the deep state is made up of Americans. Americans who hate America. They hate our Constitution. Now, let's backtrack a little bit because it's Friday. Back on Monday, several members of the House of Representatives gathered for a field hearing on the assassination attempt and the status of the investigation. And members who participated in the hearing, including U.S. Reps Andy Biggs, Eli Crane, Corey Mills, Matt Gaetz, and Chip Roy, all of them Republicans, raised similar concerns to those raised by Johnson. And by the way, all those names that I rattled off there, these are good, hardcore Republicans, okay? Biggs, Crane, Mills, Gaetz, and Roy. I like Chip Roy. He's great. And Chip listed a number of irregularities surrounding the investigation that have been chalked up to incompetence on the part of law enforcement personnel before asking a panel of experts if they found it unusual. Now, here's the neat part. Lawmakers heard testimony from former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino, Blackwater founder Eric Prince, and SWAT countersniper Ben Schaffer, who was working in Butler, Pennsylvania during the assassination attempt. And Roy began by noting that crooks fired from a building located outside the building. He says, do you believe that you can just chalk up to mere incompetence that the Secret Service didn't attend the 9 o'clock meeting for scheduling purposes? They literally just didn't attend. See, local law enforcement personnel have made it clear that the Secret Service did not attend a pre-event briefing and ultimately left the roof of the AGR building uncovered due to the heat. Now, they also weren't synced up with local law enforcement on radio channels. So that led to a delay when a local officer confronted crooks. So Chip Roy continued. He says, can you chalk it up to mere incompetence that they identified crooks about an hour ahead of time and that the president, President Trump, was never removed from the stage? They didn't delay. They didn't hold him back. They didn't remove him from the potential danger. That the perimeter didn't include the buildings around over here, and to the extent, should there have been a perimeter that was farther out and the extent that the perimeter wasn't farther out, that they at least make sure the building wasn't covered? Is that just incompetence? Is it just incompetence that there was no drone being flown and the drone was turned down by the Secret Service? Was it just incompetence that the shooter had a drone? As the FBI director testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee, that he literally had flying within a couple hundred feet of the stage the same day, mere hours before the shooting. I know that sounds a little disjointed, but that's a direct quote. All right, that's from a transcript. Chip Roy, he was just beside himself. And Dan Bongino, bless his heart, man, thank God he was there. He agreed that the security failures are seemingly too apocalyptic to be chalked up to mere incompetence alone. So you can go to the internet and you can find the entire exchange between the panel. And Dan Bongino was really the most vocal of the three men on the panel. And of the panel that was giving the testimony. And it's mind-boggling. You can see the deep state behind this entire thing. And these three men, Dan Bongino, Eric Prince, and Ben Schaffer, all agree. This cannot be chalked up to mere incompetence. There's way more behind this than we're being told. But then again, I expected this. I'll bet you did too. Bad enough that we have to deal with the deep state, but we also have to deal with the media, who are synonymous, I guess, with the deep state. They're certainly in bed with the deep state in one form or another. Whatever the deep state wants, so does the mainstream media. Well, earlier this week, Trump called out an NBC reporter in front of a live audience. This was an audience of supporters. And he basically accused the network of ignoring the real issues Americans care about. And this took place during a public event where Trump was discussing the state of the nation and his presidential run.
Great job. Who are you with?
NBC, but the polls. Boo.
NBC?
Oh, my God.
NBC fake news.
Fake news.
Tell me, have you done a story on Afghanistan today? No, have you done that story, NBC? You know, the press never talks about Afghanistan, the most embarrassing moment in history. No, but have you done the story? Today is the third anniversary of Afghanistan. Do you know that?
Yeah, one more question.
No. Do you know that? She doesn't want to take that. Okay, ready? Today is the third anniversary. I just left Arlington National Cemetery. Do you know that?
Yep.
We buried people. We honored people in Arlington. And the press doesn't even cover it, because they're fake news, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
Now, to a certain extent, not a great extent, mind you, but to a certain extent, I almost feel sorry for these on-the-scene reporters, because they're all youngsters. Most of them are 20-somethings, not all of them, but for these events, these far-flung events that are not high-profile gatherings of Trump supporters They send the younger, they're not interns. I mean, these are kids carrying a journalism degree, but they're basically kids, inexperienced. And they're the ones in the front line when Donald Trump is suddenly gets angry at the media. Now, I can't blame the man for being angry with the media. I get angry with the media when I see this stuff, when I hear about it, when I read about it. But here again, these poor kids, I at least have to hand it to them because they're going to take the abuse of Donald Trump, whether they deserve it or not. I'm talking about the individual reporter, because these young reporters, they're told what they should get. They're told what they should ask if they can get a question in. And Trump's ability to call out what he sees as biased reporting just struck a chord with his entire base. We're all in his court on this thing. So, you know, when he says that's the question you should be asking, you know, not letting it be a trivia. You know, this is because this whole Afghanistan withdrawal episode was a tremendous embarrassment, not just to our country, but the entire Western world, and our media won't cover it. Now, the media is embarrassed, too, but they're embarrassed for a different reason. They're embarrassed because it makes their administration, a Democrat administration, any Democrat administration, you could have Attila the Hun in the White House, and the mainstream media would back that person. Oh, well, let's go all the way and just say you could have Adolf Hitler in the White House, and the mainstream media would back him. So, you know, here again, they're embarrassed, the media, the entire media industry, which is mostly left-wing, and remember this, the entire media industry in this country is run by one of six companies. That's it. Whatever media outlet you watch or you rely on is run by one of six companies, and they're all leftist or left-leaning. Very hard to find a conservative, a truly conservative media organization. And if you do find one, it's not a major organization. It's not a big company. So, you know, when it comes to this term bias, the entire media business in the United States of America, and I'm talking about electronic, print, and even entertainment media, especially entertainment media, it's all left wing. So when it comes to the voters of America, their brains are simply a case of garbage in, garbage out. They're being fed garbage by the entire media business in this country, and then come November, they vote accordingly. You would have to have been living under a rock for quite some time not to understand that the automotive business, not just in America, the automotive business in general, all over the world, is in trouble. They're having some very hard times. And again, I'm going to have to pin it on the administration. I don't know if we call this the Harris administration, the deep state administration, the Biden administration. It's pretty clear Biden's not doing anything anymore. He's probably just taking naps. But, you know, the face of the administration these days seems to be Kamala Harris, who can't seem to bring it upon herself to do any interviews or hold press releases or talk to anybody. Unless it's extremely controlled conditions. I mean, she's agreed to do something with CNN, and then only with Tim Walz at her side. What does that tell you about the woman's sense of confidence? Well, anyhow, the auto industry all over the world, but particularly here in the United States, is on hard times. Why? Well, if we're going to call for the truth of the matter is the administration's insane push for EVs, electric cars. Now, they're doing this under the guise of cleaning up the air. Well, take it from a guy who's been out walking the planet for a long, long time. The air that we breathe today is a lot cleaner than it was 50 years ago. We have made a lot of progress. Is there more to make? Yeah, perhaps. Particularly in places like India and China, where the air is absolutely filthy. But we can't do anything about that. So getting all Americans to drive EVs isn't going to change the air quality in China or India. That's just the way it is. Resign yourself to that. But the administration decided to take on another issue when they took the White House almost 4 years ago, and that was, we're going to stop climate change by insisting that everybody drive an EV. Well, that's not going to change the air quality here in this country. It's not going to change the air quality in the world. It might change it here a little bit, all right, but not enough. Not enough that you would notice it. So they decided to make that symbolic gesture of forcing everybody to buy an EV. Well, we're not being forced yet, but if this administration is allowed to continue, and then after this administration is finished, another Democrat administration is allowed to continue in the White House, we will be forced to drive a product that we don't want. Nobody wants an EV. Almost nobody wants an EV. People who depend on their vehicle for their livelihood, outside salespeople, for instance, cab drivers, Uber drivers, they don't want an EV. It takes too long to recharge them. Now, is there the possibility that at some point battery technology will improve to where you can recharge your car within 5-10 minutes? Sure. That's a real possibility. Will I live long enough to see it? I might. But right now, EVs are not practical. And what people need today, particularly when the economy is suffering the way it is, they need practicality. You know, why is the price of everything so high at the grocery store? Because we stopped drilling for oil. That's the long and the short of it. And this administration has done a masterful job of painting the oil industry as a villain of some sort, when in fact, it's essential for the survival of the country. And we're barely surviving right now, much less trying to thrive. Well, the administration got some bad news. GM has decided to put off the development, or at least delay it. Yeah, put off, delay the development of this Indiana EV battery plant. Now, this isn't the only time the GM's revised their manufacturing projections. Wall Street Journal's been watching it, and they reported that the announcement in July of delaying a new Buick EV and a new EV truck factory also impacted the touting of this Indiana battery plant on the part of the administration. GM also reversed course on their intent to have enough factories to make 1 million EVs next year. That ain't going to happen, my friend, because nobody's buying EVs. Now, Inside Indiana Business announced that GM and Samsung's SDI plans in June of 2023, when they became official, with the announcement came news of 1,700 new jobs in the area, and Indiana GOP Governor Eric Holcomb expressed his optimism. You know, saying at the time, he says, this historic investment is further proof that Indiana's turned it up and shifted into a higher gear when it comes to helping create the future of mobility and more customer options out on the open road. Well, yeah. What do you expect him to say? But when news of the plant became official, Biden engaged in the usual EV rhetoric, saying, you know, our work to build a clean energy economy is unleashing record private sector manufacturing investment, driving companies to shore up our supply chains here at home, and lowering energy costs for working families, which, of course, was all BS. So now this delay that was just announced by GM earlier this week reminds manufacturers of the massive problem in putting billions into these EVs that nobody wants. Consumers don't want them. And yet, since day one, since January 20th, of 2021, the Biden administration took it upon themselves to push a product nobody wants. And, you know, that's always been one of the bragging points for the American economic system. That was freedom of choice. We had freedom to choose what we wanted to buy, and we weren't forced to buy anything. See, that's what killed the Soviet system. You were forced to buy whatever was offered. And what was offered wasn't very much. You had no variety over there. So despite the president and the EPA's emission standards, which would require 70% of new car purchases to be electric or hybrid by 2032, Americans aren't giving up their reliance on gas-powered vehicles, and they won't do it quietly either. Because if the EPA insists on pushing the 70% electric or hybrid vehicle count by 2032, first of all, technologically, it can't be done. It's impossible. Can't be done. It can't be done technologically. It can't be done from a manufacturing standpoint. And more importantly, it can't be done from an economic standpoint. The economy will crash. It'll make October 29th of 1929 pale in comparison. So, while it may be tempting to turn to an EV with rising fuel costs in mind, studies show it's more costly to own an EV than a gas-powered car. Because when people run out and they buy an EV, they don't think about what the constant charging of their vehicle at home is going to do to their electric bill. You think running your air conditioner is expensive? Holy Nelly, you ain't seen nothing yet. A survey by Consumer Reports from November of last year found EVs from the three previous model years had 79% more problems than gas-powered vehicles. And the same survey said hybrids were less problematic. But with a hybrid, after about 60,000, 70,000 miles, you have to replace that battery. That battery is going to run you between $4,000 and $7,000 to replace. You ready for that? Are you really ready for that? So this announcement made by GM back on Tuesday aligns with how consumers feel about EVs. And this is a classic top-down initiative that working people never asked for. Reliable vehicles are needed to get to work, to get back home again, take care of families, get the kids to the soccer games. And those reliable vehicles are gas-powered. Experience shows it. Consumers demand it. To the Comedy Corner with Sean Kent.
So I was listening to a podcast today, and it was really interesting. It was by a guy who gives lie detector tests for a living. Do you guys think they're accurate?
No.
You're right, they're not. And this guy, he goes around telling people, don't give them anymore, they don't work, because, and you can look this up, this is true, he said, all you have to do to beat a lie detector is when you lie, you clench your butt cheeks together as hard as you can, and it lowers your heart rate a little bit, and they can't tell. You know what's awesome? All of you just clenched your butt cheeks, didn't you? Even you. I saw it. That's the first time you laughed tonight. And it's not even true. I just made that up to make you do it. But you couldn't tell I was lying because I clenched mine. Oh, man. I love traveling. I went to the Grand Canyon with my family recently. Clap if you've been to the Grand Canyon. All right, now back me up on this. Clap if there's no guardrails anywhere at the Grand Canyon. That's weird, right? And I asked the park ranger, I said, does anything bad ever happen because you didn't put up guardrails? And you can Google it, it's true. He said, yes. He said, every year, on average, we lose anywhere from 10 to 12 people over the edge at national parks. Here's why. They were taking a selfie and they fell. Right? You've heard that, right? And my wife was with me. She was like, what a tragedy. And I was like, eh. Is it? Or is the Grand Canyon just doing the Lord's work? You know what I mean? Not so much a canyon as it is a national IQ test. Not just Americans, though. You can hear the Germans. They're like, 9! Park ranger's like, no, you're number 10. Oh, man. I went to Walmart yesterday. You guys been to Walmart lately? Boy, I got lost, dude. It's so big. You can walk into a Walmart with a shopping list like, all right, I need tires and lettuce. And a basketball, a Bible, and a gun. Grandma's prescription, sunscreen, a hula hoop, Preparation H, flat screen TV, car battery, kayak, and an engagement ring. Ladies, if you got your ring at Walmart, give it back. He's not the one. At least get you a man who goes to Target, okay?
Have a terrific long weekend. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you on Tuesday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time this weekend just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?